This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's now time for the most unpredictable, most wacky, most opinionated segment of the show.
I wouldn't brag about it.
Gwen and Chris talk about the best of the rest.
Great balls, you fire!
Ooh, with a twist.
Personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
The Big Five begins right now.
Don't panic, but there's absolutely nothing to worry about.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Big Five from your long weekend. The Big Five is brought to you by EcoWater Water Systems. Great tasting, crystal clear, odor-free, virtually contaminant-free water for drinking, bathing, and cooking. EcoWater Water System. That's really, 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 really clean water. Find them at EcoWater. That's ECOWaterSD.com. All right, Thomas, let's go to number five.
Number five.
Damian Lillard. Tony and I were talking before the show. Huge fan of this guy now. I'm just a massive fan, so we'll see what you guys think after this. He officially agreed to terms on a four-year extension worth $196 million with the Portland Trailblazers over the weekend. There is criticism out there because people think he will never win a title with the Blazers, but Lillard does not care about the criticism. He was on ESPN and said he wants to win a title with the Blazers his way. He said, quote, "In the end, I know that if it gets done, it will feel much better to know that I did it in a solid way. I didn't have to go and play with the best players just to get it done. For me, this is the way I want to do it, and I know that if it doesn't happen, I can live with it because I know the route that I chose. I accepted it a long time ago," end quote. Tony, what will it take for the Blazers to win a title before Dame is out of the game? See what I did there?
Oh, wow.
What'd you do?
I rhymed Dame and Game.
Dame and Game. And lame. I'm just so joking.
Whoa. That was a good one. See what he did there? Hey, what do we got? We got B-Rabbit over here in the studio?
They're gonna need for LeBron James to retire. They're gonna need for a few injuries to take place in the Western, more than a few injuries in the Western Conference, I would believe, for Portland to win the whole thing. I think they've made some moves. And listen, this may, if there's a chance, this is these next couple years will be the years to do it, right? Because I think they get older. Portland's going to continue to get older. They made some moves to compete, but the pathway is very narrow for the Portland Trailblazers to win a championship out of the Western Conference. So aside from a new alignment that the NBA could come up with, maybe put them in a better position, it's going to take a couple big-time superstar. I take that back. Takes one really big superstar to get over there for that to happen. Who that is, I don't know, because they all seemingly have just signed.
Yeah, that's true. Chris, what do you think? What will it take?
I get your question, but first of all, I want to ask, what's he being criticized for? I mean,
he's being criticized
for what? Because he wants to play for the Portland Trailblazers?
Because he doesn't want to team up.
I mean, that's just ridiculous.
People get mad about
absolutely absurd.
He's being criticized for the fact that he won't join the rest of the people and
join
up
the rest
with
of the people. Okay.
That's the same thing they get mad at him for, too.
Yeah. They don't like when these guys put together these star power teams on their own, and Damian Lillard is not about that.
No.
So I'm going to commend Damian Lillard, not criticize him at all. And I'm going to disagree wholeheartedly with Tony Gwynn Jr. I think Portland has a very good chance to win it next year. They added Hassan Whiteside. They've also added Yusuf Nurkic, who was their starting center, who didn't even play last year in the playoffs, and they got all the way to the finals against Golden State. Well, Golden State's not going to be in their way anymore. The Lakers and the Clippers obviously have this superior star power, but when you're talking about a team, this Portland team is going to be very, very contentious next year, and I think that they're going to have an opportunity to do it while these other superstar teams are coming together. There.
We need to get into this later because both of you guys.
What do you want?
No, I thought you guys' answers were great. It was just a little disagreement on this end over here.
Yeah,
on Tony's end. That's what the Big Five is for.
How can you completely overlook a team that was in the Western Conference Finals last year? They got the same team, just added two guys.
Who did they play? They played...
The Warriors.
The Warriors. They were no match for the Warriors. Before but they're
that.
Not in the Warriors.
I'm talking
the
before Warriors. That. They played OKC, and yes. They played who else?
Who did they...
Utah?
Oh,
was it
Rockets or Utah? I don't remember.
I don't remember either. It wasn't Rockets, though, because they got...
No, because the Warriors, yeah.
I know that teams that put their superstars together, like all the rest of the teams in the league, other than Portland have done, don't just automatically win the first time out. It's not that easy.
All right.
I like Portland.
Number four.
I'll stick with that.
Good start in Big
Five. Number four.
Dodgers manager Dave Roberts is facing a little criticism, mainly from San Diego, heading into managing the All-Star game. He needed to select a replacement for Nationals star Anthony Rendon, and so he picked who he thought was the most deserving player, his own player, Max Muncy. Here is Dave Roberts explaining why he chose Muncy for the All-Star game.
You know, in this day of self-promotion and a lot of things that lead to the fans, and it's not always about who's having the best first half, and you're looking at all these statistics, WAR, OPS, and all that stuff, and he deserves it. And I think that he was classified as a first baseman because that's kind of where we started him, but then because of our club and injuries, he moved over there to second base. So he was kind of put in a different bucket, you know, as far as a player or fan voting, and so he kind of got overpassed a little bit. So with this production to get acknowledged, I think it's fantastic.
All right, Chris, is Max Muncy the next most deserving player to make the All-Star game?
Maybe, maybe not. You could make a case either way. You can certainly make a case for him. I mean, he's had a very nice first half. He plays multiple positions. He's a key player for the best team in the league. But that's not the point here. The point is Dave Roberts gets the opportunity to select the player. Who would you rather select if you were the manager of the Dodgers? Your own guy who you have to see every single day? Who you want to play for you the second half of the season? Or do you want to bypass him just to make the Padres happy down the road and pick up one of their players?
I didn't think about it like
if
that.
If the Padres want more All-Stars, they've said it correctly. Just win, you'll get your All-Stars. Right now, the Dodgers are in the limelight because they're winning, and it's their guy picking. He should pick his own guy.
Tony?
100% agree with Chris. As you get to the World Series 2 years in a row, guess what? That you had the best record in the first half, guess what? You're going to get to manage the All-Star team, and you get to make those decisions. I tell you what, if Andy Green was in the same boat and he didn't pick one
That's
of our
right.
guys,
I'd be ticked off.
I'd be so irritated, and so would everybody else in San Diego. So, listen, as Chris said, you can make a case for Max Muncy being on a team. You can make a case for Tatis Jr. being on a team. The fact of the matter is the tiebreaker is the fact that the manager is a Dodger.
As a manager, wouldn't you want your player to get a little rest?
No.
Not
I want
to
my
fly
player
to
be
Cleveland.
Happy with
me. I want my player to want to run through a brick wall for me in the second half. Right.
Yeah, and when I ask him to do so, I can remind him that I chose him for
that.
100%. Hey, remember that All-Star game I got you in?
Yeah.
I need you to play for me. Mm-hmm. Real hard.
All right, let's go to number three.
Number three.
One thing that's clear about the Team USA women, they are going to speak their mind. They faced a ton of criticism throughout the World Cup, but they also brought a lot of attention to women's soccer worldwide. But after the American women won the World Cup for the fourth time, something interesting happened. Do you guys hear this? The fans in attendance started chanting equal pay in France. Here is Megan Rapinoe talking about equal pay.
If you don't stop calling her Rapinoe.
Oh my gosh!
I don't know what's going on with my mouth right now. I know her name is Rapinoe. I know it.
Apparently not.
I do know it. I watched it all yesterday.
And still got it wrong.
I look at it and I thought, okay, Megan Rapinoe talking about equal play after the game. Equal pay.
I mean, I think everyone is ready for this conversation to move to the next step. I think we're done with the are we worth it? Should we have equal pay? Is it, you know... Is the markets the same? Yada, yada. Everyone's done with that. Fans are done with that. Players are done with that. You know, in a lot of ways, I think sponsors and everyone's done with that. Let's get to the next point of what's next. How do we support, you know, women's federations and women's programs around the world? What can FIFA do to do that?
I was going to ask you guys originally, how are they going to do this? But if you guys figured it out, then that would be pretty cool because it's going to be very difficult. So my question to you guys, Tony, how much will this World Cup's performance help in regards to equal pay between men and women?
As in regards to USA soccer?
Yeah, we'll stick it right there.
I think it will help immensely. Whether they get equal pay immediately, I think remains to be seen, but as you heard Megan Rapinoe there say, we've moved past the conversation of if they should be getting a raise, if they're worthy of it. Because at this point, the numbers don't lie. People viewed this. A lot of ratings were high. Stadiums were full. And they were dominant. So I'm the wrong person to ask as far as how we get there. But there's no question that it definitely needs to happen.
Chris?
Tennis players get equal pay?
They do not.
I don't believe they do. I think this is going to help for a while, but I think the shine will wear off of this performance over the next, I'm talking 6 months, 8 months, 12 months. We might remember Megan Rapinoe. We might remember Alex Morgan. I barely remembered Carly Lloyd scoring 3 goals from the previous World Cup 4 years ago. Women's soccer is something that jumps into our consciousness once every 4 years. And it's fantastic for a couple of weeks, but I think it's going to be difficult for them to get equal pay, even though they certainly deserve it. I don't have any problem with that. I just think it's easy to say, much harder to do. And I think that's what Megan Rapinoe is kind of getting at, really.
Not Megan Rapinoe? I was making fun of myself. All right, number two.
Number two.
A scary play unfolded yesterday at Houston's Minute Maid Park during the 8th inning of the Angels and Astros. Here it is.
Here's the next pitch. Springer swings, gets a high fly ball in the right field. This is probably going to be deep enough for a sac fly. Tagging is Mariznick. Here's the throw to the plate, and he is safe. A collision. Luke Roy is down on his back, and he is not moving right now. There was a vicious collision at home, and Luke Roy is shaken up at the moment, and he looks dazed right now.
Yes, he does. Boy, Mariznick just lowers the boom.
So as you heard, Luke Roy went down. He had to be removed from the game. He had to go to the hospital, get a CT scan. And if you ask an Angels fan, Luke Roy wasn't blocking the plate. But if you ask an Astros fan, Luke Roy was blocking the plate. We know the Buster Posey rule eliminates these collisions, but here's what Mariznick said on Twitter afterwards. Quote, through my eyes, I thought the play was going to end up on the outside of the plate. I made a split-second decision at full speed to slide headfirst on the inside part of the plate. That decision got another player hurt, and I feel awful. I hope nothing but the best for Jonathan Lucroy. End tweet is what I'll say. Lucroy is going to be okay. He went to the hospital, checked out. Everything's going to be fine. Chris, Mariznick was called out, and it was upheld after review, but what are your thoughts on this play?
I don't necessarily think I'm not going to jump on Mariznick here and say it's a dirty play, but I think that a suspension is going to be warranted. Personally, I think if Major League Baseball is very serious about this Buster Posey thing, it doesn't necessarily, in my mind, matter if it's intentional or not. And I don't expect the guy to admit, yes, I intentionally wanted to flatten Jonathan Lucroy. So I don't expect to hear that from anybody. But so that's why, to me, it's intentional or not. If you give a guy a concussion with a collision at home plate, I think you're going to have to get a suspended a couple of days. Games that keep guys from doing it again.
Tony, what do you think about this play?
It's certainly conceivable that... Well, who was the guy's name?
Mariznick.
Mariznick.
Mariznick, yes.
It's certainly conceivable that initially he read, I'm going to the outside, and may have thought the ball was coming to the inside based on reading the catcher. Because that's really, he's not looking down the line watching the ball come in. He's reading the catcher's movement. And LaCroix initially, when he sets up, he's over the plate, but he has to come back to the inside to receive the ball. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it was intentional. But like Chris said, there's no more taking out catchers anymore.
Not at all.
And he gave him a pathway to slide other than the inside. So that being said, there probably is a suspension warranted. I don't believe he did it on purpose. His initial reaction after it happens is one of concern.
Mm-hmm. Right.
for his
He went and tried to like go see if he was okay.
He was and listen, I played with Jonathan. He's a tough dude. He was concussed right there. You saw the arm come up. It was kind of scary to watch, but I don't think it was intentional, but nevertheless, there needs to be some repercussions for it.
Whenever your body does things unintentionally, that's really...
That's scary.
Yeah, very scary. All right, let's get to the last.
Number one.
Mountain West football may be headed to a different TV network. Sports Business Journal reported the NFL Network, who agreed to a four-year deal with Conference USA to air games this season. I mean, really? Conference USA? That's where they went? That's kind of crazy to me. But they are interested in a similar deal with the Mountain West. The financial info was not released, but currently CBS Sports Network holds the rights to Mountain West football for this coming season. Tony, would NFL Network be a better network than CBS Sports Network for San Diego State and the Mountain West?
It could be. It could be, and I don't know anybody who doesn't have the NFL Network. I mean, that is like...
AT&T UVerse does not have the NFL Network.
Oh.
That's a big one.
Is it?
That's big.
Well, it's one of the big ones in San Diego, so that means a lot of people here would lose out.
UVerse?
UVerse, yeah.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Was it UVerse, Thomas?
Yeah, I think you can get it, though. Can't you get it as an extra pack, part of your package?
No, they don't offer it at all for the company. They couldn't come to an agreement on contracts.
I'm so tired of these contracts. Man, anyway, that's not the question.
That's not the question. So I guess the answer to that lies in what the Aztecs think about viewership here in San Diego with NFL Network versus CBS Network. CBS Network has been good. I've done a good job, but... I just hear NFL Network. I think NFL.
Yeah,
I think,
of course.
I think bigger audience. But yeah. You guys may be changing my mind based on this AT&T UVerse thing.
Chris, what do you think?
I know
think it would be better?
It.
Keep in mind, CBS Sports Network also schedules out the times of these games, and that's why the Aztecs are always starting at like 7:45 p.m. So
yes, thank you for answering my question for me.
I didn't
exactly
answer
exactly what I was going to
really?
Say.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't think you were going to go that way at all.
Yeah.
You,
stop answering these questions.
My bad.
You are to ask the questions.
I thought I was giving
and then
pertinent information. Can we get that cleaner
that
without me talking?
That's just so you.
That boiled Chris's blood. Right?
I saw it. Immediately as I started, the look on his face was, I'm going to hurt you.
It's not easy to come up with answers to all of these questions out of the blue. I don't look them up. I don't do research. I wait for you to ask them, and then I try to come up with something interesting to say.
See.
And then you are out there giving half the answers away.
Well, you can
say that when we did the Home Run Derby thing earlier. I go, what's the Home Run Derby? What's our contest today? Or our countdown today? He goes, it's the Home Run Derby best ever. You know, like Josh Hamilton and Giancarlo Stanton and Mark McGwire and Ken Griffey. I'm like, what are you giving me all the answers for? Let me figure out my own top five.
You know, you could give an answer and then credit me for the source.
I'm not going to. I don't even know what we're talking about anymore.
Mountain West might be a part of the NFL Network. Is that a good deal? Back on track.
Honestly, I can't answer the way I was going to.
So the start times are your issue.
My answer is that San Diego State should go with whatever network can get them some better starting times. Honestly, that's what I was going to say.
Because totally
I'm tired of having every game on Friday night at 7:45, and I think the Aztecs are too.
I'm sure the student base is kind of irritated with
Rocky Long hates it
Friday
too.
Nights.
Rocky Long, he wants the like 3 p.m. start on a Saturday. That
yes,
be
he does.
Perfect.
So that's why I say if the NFL Network can provide that, then off you go.
Are we the old school Cubs of football? Except it's reversed. Like, we only play night football games and never... We get a day game.
What I don't understand about CBS Sports, and I like their coverage also, Tony, and I get their, you know, so I can watch the games. So I'm fine with it. But why don't they ever pick the Aztecs for the 4 o'clock game? Why are they always the 11:30 at night game? Because the rest of the Mountain West is cold weather, high altitude cities, and they don't want Wyoming having to play at 11 at night. So the Aztecs do every time.
Brutal.
Crappy. If you decide to play in Wyoming, I mean...
You deserve to play at 11.
Exactly. You're signing yourself up for that.
I mean, it's really bad for, you know, the Aztecs in the biggest picture of all.
No doubt.
Which is the recruiting around the country of many, many, many people who never got to see Pumphrey play, never got to see Rashad Penny play, never saw Ronnie Hillman play. And that's what attracts kids to these schools.
It basically pins you down as far as who gets to see you. So recruits, if you live anywhere past the Mississippi, probably aren't watching.
No Not way. Too many San Diego State games. No, that's why I say they go with the network that gives them the better games. But thank you for answering anyway, Farmers.
Great stuff in today's
gonna
Big
come
Five.
It's yes, going to be will. Coming up all week. I have a feeling.
I have a feeling, too.
It's going to come up in the next break because I'm going to go over and knock him over.
I'm going to go get something in the kitchen. Are you going to answer for me? I have a feeling this is going to happen. Good stuff, guys, for the Big Five. The Big Five brought to you by EcoWater Water Systems. EcoWater Water Systems provide crystal clear, really, 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 really clean water for your home or business. Find them at EcoWater. That's ECOWaterSD.com.
You've survived another edition of the Big Five.
See why I say survive? The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's now time for Gwen and Chris to rank their top five of the day.
Gonna grip and rip, as usual.
But this isn't just a regular top five list.
I love it. It sounds sadistic, but I love it.
This is The Countdown. And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, the Home Run Derby is coming up in a little while, so today's countdown, top five Home Run Derby contestants of all time. And I guess this is our opinion.
This is our opinion, for sure.
Right? Because there's no way that we would ever include the guy who has the most Home Run Derby home runs.
I feel like I definitely need to hear this before we get
started. I will
started.
Tell you at the end of our countdown.
Oh, what? You make us wait.
Well, maybe you'll announce, maybe you'll say him during your list, but I'm sure you won't.
You're positive I won't?
I'm positive you won't. I can bet you almost that the guy who's hit more Home Run Derby home runs than anyone ever doesn't even know he's got the record.
And
that's how
active,
unlikely
he's an
he
active
is.
Guy.
He's an active player in Major League Baseball
what
right now.
What year did he do the Home Run Derby?
I think he did it more than once, because there's no way he hit this many in one year. He's the all-time leader. It's not all-time one-year leader. It's the all-time, all-the-time leader.
Is it Cano?
It's not.
Oh, that was a great guess.
Robbie Cano is not even in the top 10.
Whoa.
So it wasn't as good a guess as you thought. All right, here we go. Top
Number
five.
Five.
Greatest Home Run Derby contestants, Tony Gwynn Jr., go.
Prince Fielder.
That's
number
him.
Five.
No, I'm just kidding. Oh. Prince is number three all time.
Is he excited Tony got?
I know, I was like, that's not right.
No, he's number three. Prince is number three, which is pretty good.
He won in 09 and 12, both champions in those years. He always fit the Home Run Derby to me because right. It was his natural swing. Like,
yeah.
He swung
hard.
He
didn't have to change anything?
No, he swung from the ground up. And he gave it everything he got, which is amazing, because in those Home Run Derbies, your stamina is the thing that costs you in the end. You get tired, your swing changes, can't get the ball in the air. That never was one of his problems.
No. Didn't he, this was a scrappy trivia question one time, but didn't he finish with the same number of home runs in his career as his dad?
Yes.
That's unbelievable. Cecil Fielder.
Yes.
Before Prince. All right, Prince is awesome. My number five is Mark McGwire. 1999 Home Run Derby at Fenway Park, watching him take a shot at the Green Monster and clearing it by like 300 yards for about an hour straight. He hit 16 in one round, tied Ken Griffey Jr. for the championship, but Griffey won the tiebreaker that year, whatever the rules were that year. Griffey wound up on top, but McGwire put on an amazing show. One of the first guys to really put on one of those shows, you know, where you just go crazy for a round. McGwire did that. 1999.
Good one. Good. Very good pick there.
Number four.
My number four will have to be Barry Bonds. Only won the contest once, and that was in 96 in Philadelphia. He was runner-up another time. I was around for those Home Run Derbies. And as much as he was in them, he couldn't stand the contest. Like, he didn't want to do it. But he would get out there because he knew the fans wanted to see him, and he'd go out there, and I always liked watching Barry swing.
Didn't have to try.
It was just effortless,
hate
right?
To say it. That's why effortless. It's too bad that he got connected to the PEDs, because he didn't need it. He didn't need it. He was so incredibly talented. All right, my number four guy was also so incredibly talented. 1993, did not win that year, but left a lasting memory on the side of the warehouse at Camden Yards, Oriole Park.
Yes, he did.
And then went on to win the contest three times after that, and that was one of the sweetest swings in the history of baseball, Ken Griffey Jr. The one that he hit off the warehouse, I think, still about the only ball that's ever been hit off that warehouse behind right field at Camden Yards. So, Ken Griffey Jr., pretty memorable all-star home run derby stuff. He was good at it.
I really stink at this job.
Yeah, you're terrible. Sorry. Come on, man.
My number three is Sammy Sosa.
Sammy!
You might not recognize him now, but when he was playing, the guy could hit the home runs, right? He won the...
I'm not even going to ask you to explain what you just said, either, because there's no way around it.
That one, Connie, you guys said, Chris picked it up quick, but you took a little bit for you to figure that one out.
Yeah, because, yes.
Sammy won it in 2000, was runner-up in 2001 and 2002. He was made for home run derby, like a showsman. He was like right up the same cut from the same cloth as Franmil Reyes.
Remember? Like, he had a cork bat, so they could hit home runs in batting practice.
I mean,
and he mistakenly used it in a game one time.
Yeah, just one time.
Mm-hmm. All right, my number three is Giancarlo Stanton, who set the all-time record for a single season with 61 home runs. 61! In one contest, and that was right here in San Diego a couple of years ago. That's still the single-season record. Stanton is number two all-time in the history of the competition with 83 home runs, but nowhere near the guy who is number one. I'm going to still let you guys guess, and I'll tell you who that is.
Just for the record, the guys in the home run derby now have the ability to be playing under this new rule guideline, which allows for more home runs.
There's a reason why this guy's number one, but it's not because he's an unbelievable power hitter. It's right. Just a strange guy to be on top of this list.
Is it Jock Peterson?
It is not.
Okay. All right. Where are we at?
Number two
are going to be guys that Chris mentioned already, but they're the best home run derby guys to ever do it. Mark McGwire for me, won it in 92, runner up in 90 and 96. If you wanted to watch home run derby because you wanted to see how far a guy could hit the ball,
yeah,
this was the guy you wanted to watch. There were places that you didn't think were even possible to get to that he was getting. I remember the home run derby, I believe he participated here in 94. He hit a ball opposite field, mind you, that got like right underneath the scoreboard at Qualcomm. So imagine, you know the scoreboard, old scoreboard in Qualcomm.
I saw Bonds hit the bottom corner of it once during a game with a grand slam off Dennis Tankersley, I believe. But man, that's about as far as I've ever seen a ball hit live person.
Yeah, me too, me too.
Yeah, off that scoreboard. All right, my number two guy is Bryce Harper. Let's not forget what he did last year. Unbelievable performance. He was down by 8 home runs to Kyle Schwarber with 50 seconds to go, 5-0, and hit 9 home runs in the final 50 seconds in front of his home crowd last year in Washington to win the home run derby. It was a remarkable moment in the history of the home run derby.
Mind you, they had to beg him to do it.
And he didn't want to do the contest either. No, but man, when he got in there, and that was something, because he had 9 pitches left, and he had to hit them all out, and he did.
And was under time constraints,
right,
too.
And he did it. So that was why I put him up there.
Number one, without a doubt, as I said, has already been mentioned, is Ken Griffey Jr.
He is so good at this.
94, 98, 99, runners up in 92, 93, 2000. To me, in order to get on this list, you had to participate multiple times, because that tells me that you enjoyed doing it. I mean, he placed in 6 of these. I don't even know how many he actually participated in.
Right, probably 6.
Because, I mean, as you said, one of the most beautiful swing in all of baseball.
Beautiful.
Even to this day.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. He's number 6 on the all-time list, by the way, Ken Griffey Jr. But that's because the rules were different when he played.
Yeah.
My number one, it's the first thing that came to my mind when you mentioned this category, and it's Josh Hamilton. Never won the thing, but he still holds the record for most home runs in one round with 28.
That was in Yankee Stadium.
In Yankee Stadium, and it was really an amazing display. And I remember. I've told you already, I don't really care for the home run derby. It's not something I watch. But I did happen to be watching that night, and one of those things that just took your breath away once you started watching it. He ended up losing that final that year,
Ran
Justin Morneau.
Yeah.
But And then they had to change the rules around because it was like, you can't not have this guy be the champion after what he did.
It became boring because cats were understanding, okay, I'm losing, so I'm going to take a pitch.
Right.
Swing one. Take a pitch. Take a couple pitch. Get Mike. And then swing.
Relax.
And home run derbies were lasting like 4 hours.
Yes. They were going forever. But Josh Hamilton's moment in 2008 at Yankee Stadium, one to remember. That's my number one. All right, there's our countdown.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
So we're getting into more baseball later, but joining us now, Angelo Euclides, former Team USA member and Fox Sports broadcaster, joins us here on Gwen and Chris. Angelo, thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Listen, I think, well, most of us in this room watched every one of these matches. And
what does that mean? Just you?
and enjoyed it a lot. Would you say that this was one of the most dominant performances soccer has seen in the World Cup, whether it's men or women's?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I think from start to finish, obviously everybody remembers clearly the 13-0 win against Thailand. And I mean, to start off a tournament, a major tournament, the biggest one, world stage of the World Cup, was pretty incredible to watch. And they made it fun. They made it so fun for us to watch. I'm sure they captured a lot of new fans as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Angela. I mean, is this a complete success on and off the pitch? I mean, obviously you get the championship, so that's a success on the pitch. But does USA Soccer accomplish what it also wants to accomplish with their performance?
Yes, and for a multitude of reasons. I think for when we look at this program for U.S. soccer, the standard is to win, to be first place, to win it all, and that's exactly what they accomplished. But even more so than that, I think so much of the focus coming into the tournament was talked about the defense. Yeah. Well, we didn't really hear that, you know, in terms of every single match. There are only two goals that were started to be scored after that group play. So we didn't really hear anything about the defense, nothing critical about that. And what I also find ironic is that so much of the talk about this team was actually not even about soccer itself. It was about the celebrations. It was about the pay equity, so many other things. So for them to be able to go out there, stay focused, win every single game, and then come home with the World Cup trophy, I mean, I think it's a win across the board, all hands down.
Now, Angela, obviously the win, bringing home the championship, opened up a brand new conversation, and that had to do with equal pay. There were some chants coming from the crowd yesterday yelling equal pay. And listen, I think at this point all of the facts are on the women's side on this one, right? For a time it was, okay, they're the best, but they're not drawing as much. Not as many people are watching.
Right.
That clearly isn't the case anymore. How difficult do you think it's going to be, or how long do you think this type of fight can last to get to actual equal pay? Not a raise, but actual equal pay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting because, I mean, so much of the talk and conversation has been about how the team doesn't bring in as much, right? They don't bring in as much money and revenue as the men's side, but that's not even part of the discussion anymore. I think even being able to have the data and the facts backed up from the U.S. soccer finances showing that that's not a real argument anymore is something that the U.S. team, the women's team, will be able to leverage. My hope is that it won't take very long for us to see this challenge being solved. But I think it's more than just finance, and I think it's more than money. What these women are really trying to achieve isn't putting more money into their own bank accounts. They are trying to do something much larger and greater, actually to help other people, not even themselves. And it's about the treatment and how they are looked at and perceived in the world. That's really what these women are trying to do. It's not about getting more money into their own bank accounts.
Angela Euclides, former U.S. Team USA member, Fox Sports broadcaster, joining us the day after the U.S. women win the World Cup, shutting down the Netherlands 2-0. You know, it's interesting you talked about their defense. Their defense was so good because I don't think the other teams ever had the ball. Angela, you know what I mean? They would like pass it around for like a half an hour.
That's one way to do it, right?
That's a very good way to defend is to have the ball the whole time. But, you know, there were some people that afterwards, even though it was a dominating performance in the tournament, et cetera, who said that they think the world is closing the gap just a little bit on the United States team. And maybe that would be good for soccer. I mean, you want the U.S. to win every single time, but you also want the competition to be better and better and better. Did you see some of that at all during this tournament?
Yes, it was actually, I think, one of the most, I think it was the most competitive Women's World Cup that we've ever seen in the history. And I think where that gap has shrunk a bit in terms of relativity to the U.S. and what we've done with the women's program here, I just think that the dominant performance of the U.S. women's team just kind of pushed the program a little bit further. But the gap has shrunk because of the extra funding, and not even extra funding, but finally just getting funding for these other women's programs internationally. And I think that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a Netherlands playing in the World Cup final for the first time ever after winning the 2017 European Championship. Seeing how many people are showing up for games, it's just really incredible to see that growth.
Angela, my girls play, so I've become a big soccer fan myself. I want to ask you a little bit about the next group, right? Because I think we all know Megan Rapinoe was the star of this, took home all the trophies. Yeah. But she's going to be close to, what, 37, 38 next time they have a tournament.
Right.
Who are the next? Obviously, Alex Morgan will still be there, but she'll be on the back end of her career at that point. Who are the young, up-and-coming women that are going to hopefully carry this torch in through the next World Cup?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can see how the team had two teams, right? Two first-string teams, so to speak, because of the depth. Let's talk about a Mal Pugh.
Yeah.
You talk about a Rose Lavelle, even. How incredible she was in the entire tournament. She's just now starting to get talked about because of the goal that she scored. But she played fantastically. Crystal Dunn, I mean, talk about defenders. I mean, she stepped up hugely against France, especially. The list goes on and on. And I think what's nice to see is that even more so than age, there's now the opportunity for the lifespan of a female soccer player to be even longer. So, whereas in my day, I wouldn't have thought about retiring at the time that I did. But now there's just more opportunity, and there's more of a lifespan for a female.
Angela Hucles is with us from Fox Sports, former USA team member. Did we lose Angela? Are you there? Oh, there you are. You're kind of there. Oh,
okay, perfect.
Okay. Oh, good. You're back. Yay!
Hopefully delivery.
I know. Last thing for me, Angela, real quick. How does USA? Because you talked about all the advancements that have been made, and it is tremendous. I mean, from 20 years ago to now, the opportunity is so much better for all these young women. How does USA Women's Soccer stay in the spotlight between now and the next World Cup? Because I always feel like it kind of falls off the page a little bit, maybe 3 or 4 months from now. There's so much excitement today and this week, and you kind of want to keep all these young women excited and happy and thinking about this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the best way to look at that and kind of cure the World Cup hangover is to look at the NWSL. We have a dynamic professional league in our own country where it's really the first time we can say that every single member of our U.S. women's team plays here domestically in our professional league. And that's huge. And not just our U.S. players, but so many other players from other countries play in our NWSL, our professional league here too. So, you can still get and capture some of that World Cup excitement here. And, ESPN actually just picked up the games to be able to watch them on national television now, so that we get to see in our own homes this exciting group of women across the country here in the NWSL.
Well, Angela, we certainly appreciate your time. I think the nation had a blast watching the women do their thing and take home the trophy. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk soon again.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.